private health insurance system that would include everyone who wanted to purchase health insurance. Whenever Obama mentions health care, he also takes a shot at health care profits, suggesting they are too high. In a Democratic primary debate held in Cleveland on February 26, 2008, Hillary said her primary objection to Obama's plan was that universal health care would not work unless participation was mandatory. She argued Obama's plan was tantamount to making Social Security or Medicare voluntary. She argued Obama's plan would end up leaving about 15 million people without coverage because they would not opt into buying health insurance. Obama disputed Hillary's contention that 15 million people would be left out of his plan, arguing he would mandate every person buy health insurance under his plan, one way or the other. Obama has attacked Clinton by demonizing mandates, but he has not explained how his program would work without mandates. In the end, voters are left with an Obama plan that simply assumes everyone will buy the universal health insurance he forces insurance companies to provide as long as the government subsidizes those who cannot afford the premiums. Fundamentally, Hillary is charging Obama's proposal is impractical, reflecting his naive assumption his program will become universal simply because all consumers will make the decision he wants them to make. As liberal economist and columnist Paul Krugman has concluded, writing in the New York Times, if Mr. Obama gets to the White House and tries to achieve universal coverage, he'll find that it cannot be done without mandates. But if he tries to institute mandates, the enemies of reform will use his own words against him. In his determination to distinguish his health program from Hillary's, Obama has gone down a path that has a dead end. Hillary is right. Universal health care requires a mandate to participate, just as Social Security and Medicare do. Obama's plan has rhetorical appeal. But examined critically, the plan fails to accomplish the universal coverage that has been the goal of all Democrats since Harry Truman. As Krugman concluded, if Mrs. Clinton gets the Democratic nomination, there is some chance, nobody knows how big, that we'll get universal care in the next administration. If Mr. Obama gets the nomination, it just won't happen. The Clinton-Obama debate about universal health care has vastly simplified John McCain's task. He can argue that he cannot be expected to figure out the Democratic Party's universal health care plan when even Clinton and Obama cannot agree on what it is. He can repeat the reliable Republican objections that universal health care would be another bottomless Democratic pit, nothing more than a social welfare giveaway that would destroy the private health care system. Conservative surrogates supporting McCain will then be positioned to argue that Obama's plan amounts to merely another instance of income redistribution from the haves to the have-nots, with insurance company and pharmaceutical company profits subject to confiscation. The McCain campaign can then support private enterprise solutions to expand health insurance coverage as a policy alternative likely to appeal to right-center voters seeking to rein in government spending and bureaucracies. Obama's Global Poverty Act. As the Democratic primaries were winding down in May 2008, Obama quietly steered his Global Poverty Act, known as S-2433, through the Senate. Obama likes to characterize S-2433 as requiring the president to develop and implement a comprehensive policy to cut extreme global poverty in half by 2015 through aid, trade, debt relief, and coordination with the international community, businesses, and NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Obama clearly hopes he will be in his second term as president by then, when the reduction of global poverty by half can be traced back to his co-sponsorship of this visionary piece of legislation. Critics on the right, who were anything but enthusiastic, sarcastically renamed the bill the Global Poverty Tax. Cliff Kincaid, writing in Accuracy in Media, noted the legislation would commit the United States to spending 0.7% of its gross domestic product on foreign aid, which amounts to a phenomenal total of $845 billion over and above what the U.S. already spends. Of course, the bill would be paid by the U.S. taxpayer in what amounts to a redistribution of income plan, not from the U.S. haves to the U.S. have-nots, but from the U.S. haves to the world have-nots. Evidently, Obama's audacity of hope extends to giving the U.S. taxpayer the added burden of cutting in half poverty worldwide. Forget about expanding productive business activity to the third world. Obama would end global poverty by largesse. Moreover, the global poverty reduction goal was mandated by the United Nations General Assembly under its Millennium Declaration in 2000. Conservative stalwart Phyllis Schlafly saw Obama's bill as imposing a UN tax on the United States with no concern that U.S. handouts go into the hands of corrupt dictators who hate us and vote against us in the UN, and that only 30% of American foreign aid